Go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Locked out of LastPass. And Aptio loses their pass to Kaseya Stadium. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Good morning and welcome to the June 27th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. How are you doing? What a great weekend. The humidity in Florida, my end, is absolutely insane. How about yours?
It's raining. No, wait, it's not. No, wait, it's raining. No, wait, it's not. And I apologize to those that may hear a fan. If I'm not going to melt, I have to have a fan on because our AC is broken as per the laws of Florida in the summer. Tony,
hold on. For those of you who don't know, that is almost, there's death sentence and then there's AC breaking in Florida. There's a very close, how are you surviving?
A cool fans? Cell sounds really nice right now. You know what I mean? I might go commit some misdemeanors or something. I have of these little guys and I have a big old fan right in front of me. And I will be running out of this office straight home right after this recording. But besides that, Tony, I know you love BJJ, right? Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I know you love rolling in on the mat with your opponents and having a good time. And you put your videos up on Facebook every once in a while. How do you feel about cage matches?
Love them. Literally went to one this weekend. I was in the outskirts of Florida. I would never recommend it for the pedestrian. Go to mainstream, not these backlot places. But yes, I love them.
So if somebody was, say, the CEO of a communications company, maybe with a little bluebird that we talk about quite often, and there was another CEO known for wearing hoodies and owns a company that rhymes with MacBook, you know, if these two gentlemen decided they should go to an octagon, maybe in Vegas, and, you know, get into a cage match, it would be kind of nuts, right? Like you said, the average civilian going into a cage match, probably not the best idea. But that's what Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk did. Elon tweeted about being up for a cage fight with Mark Zuckerberg. The Zuck responded saying he's ready for a fight. And of course, Musk did not wait. He responded that the fight should take place in the Vegas Octagon and joked about his move called the Walrus, where he'd jump on Zuckerberg and pin him down with his weight. Now, to be fair, Zuck actually does martial arts training. He's a smaller guy. Elon is 6'1", 6'2". Zuck is 5'7". So there's a significant reach difference, significant weight and height difference. I'll be honest, it seems to me like the worst idea on the planet, and I would love to watch it.
You know, I'm fascinated. So there's two parts about this that are very important. The first one is Zuckerberg has literally been training in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And for those of you who are friends with me on Facebook and stuff like that, I used to do it every single day, but then what got in the way? Work got in the way, but I'm actually going to start going back into it. I'm a 3-stripe brown belt. If that means anything to you out there, then you know I've been doing it for a while at this gym for about 10 years. And so Zuckerberg being involved in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is not a joke. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is not a fun, relaxing sport. When you are comfortable with getting choked out a few times a night, then you know you have arrived. Congratulations, you are in the sport. Now, that being said, the other part is really interesting. Let's be blunt. Zuckerberg, Musk, very, very, very wealthy individuals. There's a good rule of thumb I have in life. Once you've had everything, anything is nothing. this is the one thing they haven't had. Let's do a cage fight against someone who's kind of my cool. I got to be honest. I'm kind of going with Musk once he gets him on the ground because of his sheer size. In 3 to 4 minutes, he'll tire out. Zuck will tap him out.
As a big guy, I tend to want to, back the big guy. There are certain advantages. Speed is not one of them, but reach, being able to take quite a few hits is probably not a bad idea. I don't know. I will say, depending on his experience and training, Zuck may have a healthy chance of succeeding here.
Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. So
that's true. That's true. If it's a glass jaw situation, I don't know. You know what I want to know? I'll throw down the gauntlet now. I will throw down $100 if this actually happens.
Are we venturing into the illegal yes. betting game? Okay.
No, this is not betting. This is a wager.
Every MSP right now is like, I'm in. Oh.
Right. Yeah. So I will put $100 on Zuck, the underdog, to a charity, some charity, if this ever happens. Tony's going to put $100 on behalf of MMN on Elon, and we're going to see what happens. And some charity is going to get $100. Let us know who you're going to vote for in the chat. But before we get into the news, I want to talk about something pretty important to me. Everybody knows, I'm the father of a female engineer. We have tons of women and minorities represented our company. Dave Sobel, friend of the podcast, friend of the show, does a quarterly DEI report, diversity report, where he collects data from various vendors in the space and tech companies in the space to gather and give out a report ultimately every quarter. And when it's out for the next quarter, we will absolutely post it here. The reason I bring this up, though, is there's a form on the website. He is collecting the data publicly available. If your data for your company is not publicly available, I'm inviting you to please use a form on the sidebar of that page to actually self-report. Because we want to get the real data in the space, and we want to make sure that the tech community is appropriately represented. So if you are, and it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, the idea is to get the raw data into there. So please don't feel like, oh, I should be doing better. We should all be doing better, but let's post it is so we can say where we're at, and then we can see how to improve. But for now, Tony, we got some news to do. What do we do?
Let's get to the news.
In my top security story, Microsoft Teams attack skips the fish to deliver malware directly. Written by Elizabeth Montalbano for Dark Reading. Researchers from JumpSec Labs Red Team have discovered a bug in the latest version of Microsoft Teams, enabling external sources to send files to an organization's employees and bypassing anti-phishing protections. The bug found in Microsoft Teams' external tenants feature allows threat actors to deliver malware directly to target organizations without complex phishing campaigns. However, despite the security risks, Microsoft has not prioritized addressing this issue. The vulnerability stems from Microsoft Teams' default configuration, which permits external users to contact employees. In a demonstration, the researchers exploited the flaw in just 10 minutes, underscoring the significant impact and ease with which threat actors can deliver malware. Unfortunately, Microsoft has stated that the bug does not meet the criteria for immediate servicing, placing the responsibility on organizations to implement their own mitigations and protections. Tony, it's on by default. Steve Gibson, GRC researcher, Security Now podcast on the Twit Network, often cites the tyranny of the defaults. Whatever you set as default is probably what's staying for most orgs, even MSPs, because there are so many settings. Having external communications on is on by default. That's kind of there's a lot of benefits to that. You and I communicate cross-tenant in Teams sometimes, or actually every day. So what do we do here? Microsoft says mitigate yourself, but they're not actually saying how to mitigate other than maybe turn it off. What would you do here?
So you have an interesting situation, and just for everyone to give you a little bit of my thought framework, I'm a firm believer in two things. We have laws and governance. Laws are the parameter of physics, for example, and inside those parameters there, you have to do some type of self-governance. But as long as you remain inside the walls of physics, you are okay. So laws governance. Two completely separate things, but they're very, very related. The laws are the policies, and these are things that can't be, they need to be addressed. You can't break these policies. Authentication, those are part of the laws. However, the governance, the day-to-day practice, when left unchecked, this is the second law of thermodynamics, natural disorder will occur. So even in natural society, government provides governance best practices, and people tend to sort themselves out there. In this particular case, it sounds like there's laws and there's no governance best practice, and I think you're just going to have a problem occurring. It's parenting 101 scenario. Here are the laws. Self-governance is, hey, they will mimic what you're doing. This is one of those scenarios where I think the self-governance portion of it is going to be left unchecked, and natural disorder is occurring right in front of our eyes. So I don't know what to say to this other than somebody has to jump in with, this is a best practice. This is what you need to do, not just from the day-to-day usage, but also from the design of the vendors themselves. Something as we move up the stream. What are your thoughts on this, Ray?
This, I mean, it really seems to me like a mistake. You know, Phil, get the Dolphins ready. And I get it. I'm not the multi-billion-dollar company Microsoft is, but it seems it's easily reproducible. It's actively being exploited. And you're pretty damn sure almost everybody has Teams, and most people have it in their default configuration. Hell, you even have Teams for home and students now. It's a different app because Microsoft is Microsoft, but it's there, and it's by default on all Win 11 installs. So this isn't hard. Now, I don't know external organizations how it works with Windows home version of Teams. I have no idea. I don't use that. But this definitely feels like a Microsoft telling the MSPs, figure your shit out. We don't know. Just figure your shit out. Sorry, Phil.
I think that's the problem. I mean, the reality is you've run enough support teams, Ray, to know this. This is a very, very almost a timeless law. If you can't replicate the problem, there really is no problem. I mean, because maybe you can't identify. You can't solve something you can't identify. They have replicated the problem in real time. Like, hey, this is how we did it. Sorry, can't solve that. Not our problem.
I love to see how the MSPs are addressing it. I don't even know how to mitigate this other than just turn it flat off. And again, there's benefits to having it on. Is this a training situation? Is this, what do we look out for? There weren't a lot of details here, so I'd love for the actual intelligent MSP audience we have, tell us what you're doing so we can share with others. But for now, Tony, can you do me a favor? Can you do your story? I have to log into LastPass and check some things.
And in my first story from bleepingcomputer.com, LastPass users are furious after being locked out due to MFA resets. LastPass, the password manager service, has been experiencing significant problems since May, when users were asked to reset their MFA due to planned security upgrades. This led to many users being unable to access their accounts, even after successfully resetting their multi-factor authentication. Adding to the issue, those affected didn't seek help from LastPass support because it requires account login. The MFA reset was announced several weeks in advance and was implemented to increase password iterations for enhanced security. However, many users haven't acted on this, resulting in login issues. This follows a major security breach in December of 2022, where encrypted customer data was stolen. Ray, you and I talked about this in detail, everything from the original. I believe we have some Jira components that were thrown in there. Some GitHub was thrown in there, exploits. And I'm, pounding on the door saying, you guys don't understand. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. And to those out there that comment and send us personal messages, we greatly appreciate it. And I know, thank you for those who said, hey, I'm really sorry about that. The people that said, what are you talking about, Tony? You have no idea. Oh, hey.
We just had this story. We just had this conversation on Reddit a week and a half ago. One of the distributors was asking on Reddit of, he's heard some stuff about LastPass, but it can't be that bad. He wants to give it another chance. And I love my MSP community. Our MSP, all 150,000, baby.
Oh, wow.
It was a thing of beauty. He was definitely educated. I want to say, I want to give a note of thanks to GoTo, the parent company for LastPass. This is not a LastPass thing because the original designer of LastPass, the guy was brilliant, and he opened his doors to Steve Gibson and others to research the architecture. Obviously, stuff has been changed since, but GoTo has given us a lot of content for this show, so I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Wow. I originally said, hey, listen, we're going to go, you got to have these YubiKeys. And then Ray sends me this monster right here, which I was like, you know what? This is going to be so much. Well, I don't need, I got LastPass. I can just
did I tell
down.
You, Carrie Simpson or Carrie Richardson, formerly Carrie Simpson, gave me the best way to figure out how to use that. She went into ChatGPT and she said, how do I use my Flipper Zero? Oh. And it gave her instructions. She sent them over to me. I felt like an absolute dolt because I didn't think of that.
That yeah. is hilarious. And I sent you for ChatGPT. I sent you, hey, you can create an STL file creating the Z code for three. Hey, ChatGPT, create a box with dragon teeth. Give me the Z code. And then I can just put that in my Cura. Anyway, so the point is, everyone, we're all geeks here. And what Ray just pointed out was there was a tsunami of MSP community. The MSP community is fascinating. And let me pause for a second. In Tampa, where I'm from, Tampa, Florida, there's a Facebook group called the Moms of South Tampa. Now, and you're thinking, Moms of South Tampa, this is a hair.
Sounds like a biker gang.
It's a hair away from the Russian mob. It will shut a business down like that. If one of the moms says, this company did this to me, boom. Nope. That's it. It doesn't matter. MSP community, you are that at a national level, but you back it up with...
Excuse me, Tony. Global.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. But they back it up with what's it called? Factually, statistically relevant information with a business case behind it. And yes, it's amazing. So in this case, go ahead.
No. I mean, this isn't a Karen-ing, right? I'm not. Please, the mothers of Tampa, do not go after me. I'm not accusing you of that. But I'm saying, and this was the point to the gentleman on Reddit. It wasn't one time. It wasn't two times. It was one of the nice things to have this show because I responded with a playlist of every time we mentioned LastPass. There were 9 episodes, so including 2 special reports. And that's within the last 11 months. How insane is that? So you know what? Anybody can make a mistake. It's not the mistakes, it's how you handle them. But at this point, I can't imagine a good reason. My opinion, these are not facts. Don't go after us. But I cannot imagine a good reason to use LastPass today in good conscience when there's so many other alternatives.
I support that 100%.
I hate blacklisting companies at all. Like, that's not the goal. And I would invite them to come back and fix it and be public about it. But as of right now, I can't trust it.
Well, I mean, are we really blacklisting? Or are we downplaying a company? Or are we saying, hey, listen, in this in the dirty laundry bin of software applications out there, there are cleaner shirts. And that is the one of the dirtier shirts in the dirty laundry bin. Yes. Okay. So you know why you won't have a lot of dirtier shirts? If you have a lot of money that you can throw at something and you just throw money, right, Ray? Just throw money at it.
All the monies. That's absolutely right, Tony. All the money makes everything better. And that's exactly the topic of our third top story in business. IBM acquires Apptio from Vista Equity Partners for $4.6 billion in cash to double down on hybrid cloud services, written by Ingrid London for TechCrunch. For those wondering what my teaser had to do with this, Vista Equity Partners is also the owner of Kaseya. IBM is acquiring Apptio, a platform that tracks data in hybrid cloud environments, from PE firm Vista Equity Partners for $4.6 billion in cash. With the increasing adoption of hybrid cloud architectures, organizations are seeking solutions to manage and optimize their IT spend. In a strategic move, IBM plans to complement its existing IT automation software and AI platform by integrating Apptio's capabilities. The acquisition will ensure businesses are able to better manage their IT stacks and expenses. Further, Apptio brings a significant customer base of 1,500 enterprises, including Fortune 100 companies, along with key partnerships and major cloud providers. Consequently, the deal aligns with IBM's strategy to incorporate modern products and services into its portfolio. Tony, 4.6 billion. Kaseya was 6.4. I'm sorry, Datto was 6.4 billion. I don't think we'll see those numbers again anytime soon in the MSP space. But
we keep saying that. We keep saying that.
MSP Dispatch has been acquired for 12.3 billion. No, it's, you're absolutely right. We keep saying that, and we keep getting surprised in a down market, which is insane. But this just proves that the enterprise space is also making these plays, because this is absolutely enterprise space. And, you know, nobody thinks IBM and MSP, right? But it shows they're still doing these moves, and these are the same PEs that own MSP companies. The reason I say that is because I've always said MSP is probably 10 years behind enterprise in most tech areas, right? In RPA, in user identification, authentication, and centralized management, blah, blah. So when the parent companies of Kaseya or ConnectWise or any of these other major companies start buying these other spaces, one has to wonder, are they going to bring them into our space? So if you're wondering why we're covering M&A, that's why we're covering M&A, because this is M&A from an MSP player. It's something I want to know. Tony, now am I reading the tea leaves a little too much? Did I get into the catnip a little too hard, or am I on base or what? Catnip.
No, I love insight. I love foreshadowing in some capacity, but I have no way of foretelling my future, but about my past. And the past is traditionally... the cost has gone up and up and up. What was ConnectWise originally purchased for? Now there's multitudes of that for something that isn't as big. And there's now a conglomeration of these monstrosities, and then they're being acquired. And so when does this stop? I don't know what the answer to that is, but I will say this. You hit it on the head with MSPs being about 10 years behind schedule or behind the enterprise. We all remember when, the business told you exactly what you're going to have. You can't have Outlook, or you can't bring your own device. And now the consumer,
Sorry, I was setting up my active server pages on, or my active desktop on IE. Sorry, go ahead.
But now the user has created such an influence there. So the IT department has created policies with an open architecture, but still addressing those, what we talked earlier about the law versus governance. And I'm fascinated how enterprise, we're talking about ServiceNow at the top, and guess what? ServiceNow is slowly trickling down, and everyone else is not trickling up. They are going hard. They're almost combined. I truly believe that ConnectWise, Kaseya, Datto, and ServiceNow are all going to be in the same lump within the next 5 to 7 years. My personal opinion, I'm interested to see how it plays out.
Oh, I'm with you. You know, one thing that strikes me as you're talking, I'm trying to find how many partners Datto had at the time of acquisition for 6.4 billion. I guarantee you it's a lot more than 1,500 enterprises. The reason I say that though, is because I would like to see dollar per customer who is worth more. Because I'm going to guess that 4.6 at 1,500 partners is probably a lot more valuable and more expensive than whatever that 6.4 was. Because I guarantee you Datto had a lot more than 1,500 MSPs, right? Between the BCDR, the PSA, the RMM, the other products, Drop Suite, the mesh networking, the networking products. I'd guess there were a lot more MSPs. So, but we're getting there. MSPs, I want to know from you. Do you care? Do you want to hear more of this? Or how do you feel about this? Are we on track? I thought we were covering too many security stories, and they came back and said, give us more. So I'm open to being wrong. But for now, Tony, we got some notables, right?
We have some notables. Let's do it. Coming in hot with my first notable mention from ArsTechnica.com, Windows 11 preview adds better passkey support, and rolls back File Explorer changes. The latest dev channel Windows Insider Preview build for Windows 11 offers improved support for passkey standard, which is being endorsed by Microsoft, Google, Apple, among others. Passkeys have been supported by the Microsoft Edge browser, but this new update expands its support to any app or website using built-in Windows Hello authentication methods like PIN, fingerprint reader, or face scanning camera, eliminating the need for passwords. The update also introduces support for Unicode 15 emoji, changes location-based time zone settings, and fixes. Microsoft also reversed some proposed changes that would have removed certain settings from the File Explorer's folder options window. And in my next notable mention, CISA orders agencies to patch iPhone bugs abused in spyware attacks. CISA has directed federal agencies to address security vulnerabilities recently exploited by Zero Days to install triangulation spyware on iPhones using iMessage zero-click exploits. This follows Kaspersky's report detailing a triangulation malware campaign that began in 2019 and continues today, exploiting now-patched iOS zero-day vulnerabilities. Russia's FSB intelligence agency alleges Apple's collusion with the NSA to infiltrate iPhones in Russia. Apple denies these claims and addressed the exploited kernel and WebKit vulnerabilities. CISA also highlighted a critical command injection bug and VMware ESXi vulnerability in its known exploited vulnerabilities list, instructing federal agencies to secure against these flaws by June 14, 2023.
And my first notable mention, Azure AD login with Microsoft Authentication Bypass affects thousands. Written by Tara Seals for Dark Reading. Thousands of organizations utilizing the login with Microsoft feature in Microsoft Azure Active Directory or AD environments may face a potential security risk. Dubbed NoAuth, this authentication bypass affects multi-tenant OAuth applications in Azure AD. Attackers could exploit this flaw to gain unauthorized access to victims' accounts, allowing them to exfiltrate data, establish persistence, and explore lateral movement. The vulnerability stems from mutable and unverifiable nature of email claim in Azure AD, enabling attackers to impersonate victims. Descope researchers identified numerous vulnerable websites and applications, prompting the need for organizations to prioritize securing their OAuth implementations and adopting proper unique identifiers for authentication. In response to the issue, Microsoft has revised its Azure AD OAuth implementation guidance. In my second notable mention, millions of GitHub repositories vulnerable to repo jacking. Written by Apurva Venkat for CSO Online. According to research by AquaSec, millions of GitHub repos are at risk for repo jacking, a vulnerability that allows attackers to execute code on internal or customer environments. Their research, which analyzed 1.25 million GitHub repos, revealed that approximately 2.95% of them were vulnerable to repo jacking, including Google and Lyft. Repo jacking occurs when attackers register old usernames or repository names, redirecting projects to their repositories with potential malware. This can lead to projects and code depending on the attacked repository to fetch code from the attacker's repository, potentially containing malware. Although GitHub has implemented restrictions, researchers have found ways to bypass them so far. AquaSec advises organizations to regularly check their repos for external dependencies and recommends retaining ownership of previous names to prevent attackers from exploiting the vulnerability. In our resource of the week, NSA shares tips on blocking Black Lotus UFI malware attacks. Written by Sergio Gatlan for Bleeping Computer. The U.S. National Security Agency, or NSA, has released guidance on defending against Black Lotus UFI bootkit malware attacks. The Black Lotus is a persistent and undetectable malware that bypasses Windows security features, and despite Microsoft patches for a secure boot vulnerability, the attack vector remains. Full information is in the link in our show notes. In our community feedback, user Habab from YouTube says, great show as always, the best. We feel the same about you, buddy.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. June 26th through the 28th, an in-person event, Kaseya DattoCon Europe in Dublin, Ireland. And on June 29th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Cyber Insurance Masterclass, A Winning Strategy, The Business Review, presented by Huntress. And on June 29th through the 30th, an in-person event, Millionaire Mastermind Peer Groups Q2. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have on June 29th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Pitch It 2023 Vendor Spotlight featuring Simoda and Phalanx. Also on the 29th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, the Tech Bar Podcast, episode 61 with Richie Ciccini of Cloud Radial. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hey, I'm Powerhouse Ray.
And I'm Super Cousin Danny.
And we're the hosts of
The Tech Bar.
Pull up a stool with us every other Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for drinks, jokes, and games with your friends in the MSP channel. So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go and hit it 3, 5, 7, 9 times, whatever on the Fibonacci sequence, we're good. And if you want to hear more, go and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, as I like to say, we lived, we laughed, we loved, we cried, we placed wagers, not bets.
Totally illegal, but not illegal bets on billionaires fighting in the ring. Yes.
I may be getting attacked by a group of angry Tampa moms in the future.
I love that group. South Tampa, Moms of South Tampa is not a joke. I love the group. But if you want the best purchasing decisions, they, like, with a microscope, they look at everything. Amazing. But MSPs.
I love that. It's Consumer Reports from the ground up. It's exactly what we want our community to be. It's exactly what, despite if you're on MSP Geek, on RMSP, on MRU, ITPP, whatever community you're in, or the MMN Discord, whatever community you're in, you have a voice. The vendors want to hear it. Use it. And if you need us to amplify that for you, we're absolutely happy to do it for you. Tony, I hope you have a fantastic week. I'm going to run screaming from my office into the loving air conditioner.
You lost 11 pounds of water weight with no AC. You have like 15 different fans. Your phone, your electricity, you're having brownouts in the city from the amount of fans that you have going on right now.
I've been in the dark all day because the number of lights in this office, in the studio, it's killing me. Yeah. Somebody thought I was wearing a trash bag, like, were you doing Rocky or something? I'm like, no, that's just my t-shirt. I'm sweating. But until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
In our top security story, Microsoft Teams attacks the Fit.
LastPass, the password manager service, has been experiencing... Ray, what? I don't know what you did. Hold on. I go...
Tony got the bug.
Okay.
That's absolutely right, Tony. And actually, in our top... Okay.
Back at you.
Right? Oh, jeez.
And in my next story, CISA orders agencies to patch iPhone bugs abused in spyware attacks. CISA has directly... Well, starting from the top. I'm sorry. Ray gives it to me. I give it back to Ray. Ray gives it back to me. Okay. Here we go.